Welcome to Cyber IQ Weekly, your actionable regulatory intelligence for the week of July 23rd, 2026. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sarah. This week, we're looking at a cluster of critical deadlines converging on the first week of August, alongside significant new mandates from France and China and enforcement actions in the United States and Korea.
That's right, Sarah. We're 10 days out from what we're calling the 2 August wall. Let's dive straight into the most immediate and impactful deadlines. First up, the European Union Artificial Intelligence Act. What's happening on August 2nd?
On August 2nd, 2026, the European Union Artificial Intelligence Act's Article 50 transparency duties become mandatory. This means providers and deployers of chatbots, deepfake or synthetic media, emotion recognition, and biometric categorization systems must meet specific marking and disclosure obligations. Crucially, the European Commission's enforcement and penalty powers over general-purpose artificial intelligence, or GPAI, model providers, also switch on that day. Fines can reach up to 15 million euros, or 3% of worldwide annual turnover, whichever is higher.
So this isn't just about new systems, but existing ones too.
Exactly. These obligations bind both providers and deployers and apply to in-scope systems already on the EU market, not just new launches. The Commission adopted its guidelines on the Article 50 transparency obligations on July 20th, and the Transparency Code of Practice has reached adequacy confirmation. Implementation should be mapped against this adopted text. There is one narrow relief. The Article 50 subsection 2 marking and detection duty is deferred to December 2nd, 2026, but only for systems placed on the market before August 2nd.
What should our listeners be doing now to prepare for this?
Our critical action is to map each product feature to its Article 50, Subsection 1, Subsection 2, or Subsection 4 obligation. Confirm your marking, disclosure, and general purpose artificial intelligence documentation posture now, not after the August 2nd deadline. For general purpose artificial intelligence model providers, confirm your technical documentation and copyright policy readiness ahead of enforcement. Also, keep an eye on Eurolex for the Digital Omnibus Amendment Package citation, as that carries deferred high-risk timelines and other provisions. Until it's formally in force, compliance plans should stay anchored to current law dates.
That's a lot to cover in 10 days. Moving to another critical deadline, California's Delete Act, or DROP. What's the key date there?
For California, the clock starts on August 1st, 2026. From this date, registered data brokers must process consumer deletion requests received through the California Privacy Protection Agency's Deletion Request and Opt-out Portal, or DROP, at least every 45 days. This clock is calendar-driven, not release-driven.
What's the immediate action item for companies affected by this?
Verify your DROP integration and stand up the recurring 45-day deletion processing workflow for every registered broker entity. This needs to be in place by August 1st.
And a third critical deadline this week, affecting cloud service providers. FedRAMP Ready is retiring. What does that mean for them?
That's right, Alex. The Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, or FedRAMP, Ready designation retires on July 28, 2026. After this date, no new FedRAMP Ready submissions will be accepted, and existing Ready listings will convert to legacy. For Rev 5 Ready holders, they must reach full FedRAMP certification by the later of their next annual assessment expiry or November 17, 2026.
So, what's the immediate step for cloud service providers relying on a Ready listing?
Cloud service providers relying on a Ready listing should file conversion plans this week before the July 28th retirement date.
Let's turn our attention to France, which has become the first European Union member state to adopt a general social media ban for under 15s. Sarah, tell us more about this significant development.
On July 21st, 2026, the French Parliament definitively adopted this ban. It inserts a new Article 6, Subsection 9, into the Law for Confidence in the Digital Economy, prohibiting under 15s from accessing online social network services. There are carve-outs for online encyclopedias and educational or scientific repositories. The regulatory authority, ARCOM, will supervise within the European Union Digital Services Act framework.
And what's the timeline for implementation?
The compliance calendar is already concrete. The ban applies to new accounts from September 1, 2026, and to existing accounts from January 1, 2027. This means platforms serving French users will need a point of creation age gate this autumn, followed by a full user base age verification campaign concluding at year end.
Are there any challenges or potential delays to this timeline?
Yes, two significant constraints. First,
promulgation is gated on a likely Conseil Constitutionnel referral, as opposition members have signaled a challenge on privacy and freedom of expression grounds. This could take about a month for a decision. Second, and more consequential for cross-border platforms, France adopted the law inside a European Union Technical Regulations Information System, or TRIS, standstill that runs to August 10, 2026. The European Commission issued a detailed opinion on July 6th, finding the measure incompatible with the Digital Services Act's country of origin principle. The Commission's post-standstill response will determine whether an infringement track opens, which is a genuine possibility.
So companies should proceed with caution and track these developments closely.
Absolutely. For product and trust and safety teams, stand up a point of creation age gate for French new accounts, targeting a working build by mid-August to leave test runway before September 1st. Privacy and data protection officer teams should choose an age assurance method that minimizes identity data collection and document the data protection impact assessment before deployment. Legal teams should track the Conseil Constitutionnel referral and the Commission's position after the August 10th standstill. Don't decommission any interim measures until both resolve. And program leads should plan the existing user verification campaign now, with a completion target well ahead of January 1st, 2027.
Beyond Europe, China has also made a significant move regarding internet protocols. What's their new mandate?
China's Central Cyberspace Commission published its Internet Protocol Version 6, or IPv6, implementation plan 2026 to 2030 on July 21st. This plan outlines 36 tasks that tie App Store listing standards, generative artificial intelligence service filing, cloud defaults, and device type approval to IPv6 support. It's a structural, not immediate change, but China-facing app publishers, cloud providers, and generative artificial intelligence filers should inventory IPv6 gaps now.
Let's turn to Enforcement Watch. The Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicare Services, or CMS, have deferred a substantial amount of Medicaid payments.
That's correct. On July 21st, HHS and CMS deferred roughly $867.5 million to California and $199 million to Minnesota. This followed focused financial reviews that flagged high-risk claims needing additional documentation before federal matching funds could be released. California's deferral targets certain in-home care programs, while Minnesota's spans 14 high-risk service areas. These are deferrals, not permanent cuts, but HHS also signaled it will broaden CMS and Office of Inspector General exclusion authority to bar bad actors from federal health programs.
And in Korea, we're seeing fines for elementary security failures.
Yes, at its July 8th plenary, Korea's Personal Information Protection Commission, or PIPC, sanctioned three firms, a total of 706 million Korean won. Lock & Lock was fined 503 million, Ubase 168 million, and SunPhoto 30 million, after unpatched servers and unprotected admin pages exposed approximately 1.5 million people's data. This serves as a warning shot, as identical failures after the Personal Information Protection Act's 10% of turnover punitive fine regime commences on September 11th will face a categorically higher ceiling. Any controller processing Korean personal data should take note.
What about the Network and Information Security Directive 2, or NIS2, in Europe? Any updates there?
Yes. Germany's Federal Office for Information Security, or BSI, NIS2 registration grace window closes on July 31st. Meanwhile, the Netherlands Cyberbeveiligingswet, which is their NIS2 transposition, enters into force on August 15th. NIS2 obligations are landing unevenly across member states, so confirm the transposition status in each jurisdiction where you operate.
Finally, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, has addressed a loophole.
On July 22nd, the FCC voted on a third report and order closing the covered list component part loophole. This extends equipment authorization reach to logic-bearing components and online marketplaces. Radio frequency device makers and importers should prepare component-level supply chain attestation once the adopted text and effective dates are published.
Thank you, Sarah, for that comprehensive overview of this week's critical regulatory intelligence. That's all for this episode of Cyber IQ Weekly.
You're welcome, Alex.
Thank you for listening. For sources, the full brief, and to upgrade to Cyber IQ Pro for deeper insights and a full 5-step action list, visit our newsletter at cyberiq.com. We'll be back next week with more actionable regulatory intelligence.